Hello and welcome to the first official podcast of the Fifth Quarter Footy Podcast. My name's Luke and I'm here with a good friend of mine, Dieter. We're going to be talking all things footy coming up for the 2023 season. This episode, our very first episode, will be starting off with season previews. We're going to be looking at each club and exactly what we predict that the season of 2023 will look like for them. I'll hand you over to Dieter to explain exactly what we'll talk about and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, so for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at each club and five or six indicators for what has happened or will happen in 2023. So we'll be looking at ins and outs from last year. We're going to be looking at general prediction for this year, what they should aim for as a club, a player or some players that are ready to take the next step, and player or players that are under the pressure. So we're going in alphabetical order. So we're looking at Adelaide Crows, which I've been looking at the last week or two. So to begin with, the major ins and outs of 2022, not so much major in terms of A-list players, but Billy Frampton and subsequently Fisher Mackesy retiring are big outs, particularly for their key defensive stocks. They're quite limited in having sort of three main talls down back. And if you look at clubs that have two big key forwards, like you're looking at maybe Geelong with Cameron and Hawkins, if one of them takes a hold of Adelaide, they don't really have a plan B. And that's why I think that's a major out for them, with Billy Frampton going to Collingwood and Fisher Mackesy retiring. Any observations from you, Luke?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one you point out. And I think something that really stood out for me with Adelaide, I guess it's come out very recently, and that is Paul Seedsman retiring, but stepping away from the game due to his concussion issues. Didn't play a game last year. And then, of course, Fisher Mackesy retiring, as you mentioned. He was a high draft pick. Couldn't really get it right. They tried flipping him forward after not really working out as a defender. And it's just, it baffles me a little bit that after the drafting and rookie drafting periods and the free agency periods, they were still, I mean, I'm sure they weren't completely unaware that these guys weren't likely to play in 2023, but they surely should have been picking up on the fact that there's a chance that wasn't happening. And then I know Billy Frampton wanted out, but then I don't think they really went after someone to be a tall guy that can replace a Fisher Mackesy or a Frampton in their side. Not even to be a best 22 player, but be a depth player. And I mean, for season, I guess they managed without him last year, so it's not as big of a loss, but I still think he's a guy who, when he does play, is probably one of their better players. But yeah, they're in a very awkward spot, and I think they're going to be an interesting team to watch, because they've always been a team that can get a scalpel too, but yeah, it's going to be, I think it might be a tough year for the Crows.
Yeah, it's a great observation about the sort of list management side, about Paul Seedsman and then sort of Fisher Mackesy, and also maybe not directly replacing them as well. Fisher Mackesy and Billy Frampton, over 194 centimetres tall, which, you know, players like that don't grow on trees. But moving on, the major ins for Adelaide was Isaac Rankin, traded from Gold Coast. Incredible skills, incredible footy nuance. I think he's going to do extremely well being back home in South Australia. And more of a side note in terms of their draft haul, I think Max Michelinie, which was their father-son pick at pick 17, he's a key defender but quite small or slight in the height scale, being around 190 centimetres. So not replacing a Billy Frampton or Fisher Mackesy, but he was bid on by Sydney, and with Sydney's culture being extremely strong and identifying individuals that have got great personality, very competitive. I think for Adelaide to actually get Max Michelinie in the first round, I think it's a great get for them, just to help bolster being a third tall. From you?
Yeah, so I like, firstly, to touch on Michelinie. He was pick 17. So they're in a bit of a hard spot. They didn't have a very high draft pick going into the draft. So generally speaking, you do miss out on that very top talent. And it's probably something that they would be quite upset about, in the fact that they have not been a very strong team. That being said, I love the Rankin trade. I think he's going to really slot in well for them. And I think he just fits their timeline, because actually looking at their list, they do have a fair few good young players that I think had good years last year. And I actually think they, these young players, you know, the ones that come to mind are Sam Berry, Harry Schomburg, even Darcy Fogarty to an extent. I think these,
Josh Richelli as well.
Richelli, yes, before he got injured. These are guys that I think were really sort of carrying the team, along with Tex Walker, each week. And I think adding a Rankin in just improves that team tremendously. And it's nothing against the other small forwards that they've got, but he's an upgrade on all of them. I can't see... I just don't see a way that Rankin isn't going to be a good player for them. I just think back to when Rankin first started playing. He was in his second season after missing his first year. When he came into the team at Gold Coast, he took the league by storm very quickly. And I mean, to get a player like that, I think it's only going to be good things for the future. Maybe not this year, but I think long term, it's a great move.
Yeah, I don't think Adelaide are going to lose out on that trade. I think once Rankin gets to know the system of the Crows and gets a bit more familiar with the players in the forward line, I think he's going to be an absolute star in the seasons to come. So my prediction for Adelaide in 2023, I don't think, in terms of ladder position, I don't see them being higher than 13th on the ladder. And just because the depth on the lower end of the bottom eight, and that just outside the eight, they're so strong in terms of depth and experience that I don't think Adelaide's at that next step yet. But I also don't see them sliding too far down the ladder in terms of being wooden spooners. I can see them finishing maybe 16th as the worst possible outcome. I think there's still younger teams and teams that don't have that depth that Adelaide does. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think this is going to be something that I'll probably bring it up during most of these previews when we talk about ladder prediction. I really think that going into this season, there are 10 teams that will be competing for the eight. And I think the drop off after that 10th team, in my opinion, is pretty significant. And I think Adelaide are going to be on the wrong side of that. I don't think that's going to be too much of a surprise. I think that range of 13th to 16th is good. I really do think it's a coin toss down there with a few teams. I mean, the only teams that I don't see making the eight that I have that I think will be, you know, above them is probably Gold Coast, and even then I'm not too confident. It's a toss of a coin with these teams down the bottom. And realistically, I don't think they're going to be, unless they go on a really hot run early on, I don't think they're going to be too worried about ladder position. I think it's more about game plan, getting games into the right people, getting systems that are working, because realistically, they can't be aiming for big success this year, because my opinion that these top 10 teams in the league are head and shoulders above the rest by a significant way. I just think the best thing for them to do would be to just sort of maintain where they are and get these young guys continuing to blossom in what is a promising young team, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's what I wrote down in my notes. The aim for Adelaide should be just maintaining their ladder position, and hopefully not going backwards as well. If they can bank early wins into the season, you know, that gives them a bit of confidence, as well as being a young side as well. You know, throughout 22-23 games a season, you know, they might lose a bit of legs towards the end of the season, so they need to, I think, build that momentum from the get-go. The next sort of category we're going to be looking at is taking the next step, and I've picked Riley Tilthorpe. He was picked number 2 in 2020, so that first COVID-affected year. In his under-18 side or year level, he was able to play all of his games due to SA not having any sort of significant lockdowns. And he was able to have a full season of games, and he was arguably number 1 contention, really. But Adelaide sort of bid on Jamari Ugle-Hagan, but I think Riley Tilthorpe, being 204 centimetres tall and 105 kilos, he's now got the body and the size to really match it with some of the key defenders of the league. And, you know, I think once he builds up his fitness, sky's the limits for him, because he can play on the wing. And when you're at 204 centimetres and playing on the wing, no one's going to outmark you in that stretch of the paddock. What are your thoughts, Luke?
Yeah, I like that call with Tilthorpe. I mean, I think that he's definitely shown the signs that he's going to be a pretty big handful for opposition defenders in a few years' time. And I think it wouldn't surprise me that if he was to be a player that breaks out a little bit this year. My first thought when I think about players that are going to sort of take that next step for Adelaide, my first thought went to Darcy Fogarty, which isn't too different. The only difference is that he is a bit older. That being said, not too much older. I just think Tex getting another year older, I have nothing against Tex in terms of his footballing ability, but it is a matter of time before he does hang up the boots. And I think it's probably a good year to try and get either Tilthorpe or Fogarty more of the footy inside 50, maybe make him more of a target. Because even with Fogarty having a good year last year, it was pretty tunnel vision to Tex all year round. And I mean, the stats show, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm sure if you looked them up, he was having significantly more shots on goal than any other player in that team. And I mean, rightfully so, he's a great kicker of the footy, presents really well. But I think, yeah, Fogarty and Tilthorpe are the ones that could take Adelaide pretty far in a few years to come. I mean, every good team goes a long way, a lot better than they probably should, as long as they've got two big key forwards that are kicking goals each week. So I think that they're two really exciting players that could step it up in 2023 for sure.
Yeah, and just a final note in terms of Tilthorpe and Darcy Fogarty. Given Adelaide aren't going to be pressing for a top 8 spot, they may as well, injury dependent, but hopefully play those two with Tex Walker, just to have that experience next to them. But, you know, Tilthorpe should really be the number one target coming out of the center, outside of the forward line. But we're going to now move on to most under the pressure, which for me is Rankin. This is no sort of slight on Rankin's ability or anything, but I think when you're getting paid, and this is not exact figures, but this is what the media wants us to believe, but around $800,000, you know, that's an elite pay packet for anyone. And, you know, small forwards, you know, they'd be having to score 3 or 4 goals really a game to be worth that much. Given that a player like Rankin is an X factor type, you could argue, and being hot and cold, you know, you really need to sort of showcase your pay packet. You know, being $800,000, you're looking at the elite midfielders of the competition, the elite rucks who, you know, have such strong cases to be worth that much. I think Rankin has the ability and the upside and the skills, but, you know, it's a lot of pressure for someone in their first year at a new club. Do you have something to say, Luke?
Yeah, I do agree in the fact that they're paying him a lot of money. If I mean, obviously, we don't know the exact amount, but for a small forward to make that much money, it is a bit bizarre. And as a Carlton fan, Carlton has always, and not always, but the last sort of 5 years or so, copped a lot of criticism for putting a lot of money into guys that aren't in certain positions that we're used to seeing the money going to. The one that comes to mind, obviously, is Zach Williams. You know, there's halfback flankers. As you never hear of a small forward making big money. So I definitely think the pressure will be there. My biggest worry for Rankin is I don't think initially that's something to worry about, but if he does have a string of 3 or 4 games where he only kicks one goal here and there, I think the media will come down on him pretty harshly. And that's just the worry I have. Otherwise, I mean, with Adelaide, it's a good call to go with Rankin under pressure, but you can always then bounce back off to a guy like Matt Crouch. You know, he's got a police finger out, really. And these other veterans in the league that are struggling. Do you have any other players that you think could be under a bit of pressure this year?
I do, but for different reasons. I think this is sort of more form, having been high draft picks themselves, but sort of haven't taken the next step. You know, a Chase Jones, or I think it's Jackson Hatley, first round draft picks that haven't really sort of performed to their draft position, which is sort of tough on them given they want the ones to pick themselves in that position. But when clubs give up a lot of draft capital, like a first round pick, there's that expectation and need from a club for that player to perform, and Chase Jones and Hatley haven't been there. And another one, and this is purely for injury concerns, is just Miller. He's just missed a huge chunk of footy the last 3 or 4 years, so we're really just hoping for him to be able to play, you know, 15-20 games this season, just to show the Adelaide fans that, you know, he's got currency as a player and he's a great player to watch when he's in full flight, whether he's half forward, half back, or in the midfield. Adelaide really need him to maybe step in for a seedsman for the long term if that position is available. What about you?
I mean, yeah, I think you touched on the ones that come to mind straight away. I mean, there was pressure on Riley O'Brien at stages last year. I don't think he'll have too much of an issue this year. I mean, there's a few guys you could name, really, especially in these sides that aren't going to be very competitive this year. There's a lot of names that you could probably throw out, but I think you touched on the main ones. But yeah, overall, any final comments you have for Adelaide before we move on to looking at the Lions?
I think we might see a few surprises from Adelaide. I think that's my final comment. I think they might, as you touched on earlier, they might take a scalp or two, you know. If Bulldogs have to travel to Adelaide, you know, Adelaide at their home ground is pretty formidable after being up top a few years ago. But I think we'll move on now to Brisbane Lions, which Luke took a deep dive on.
Yeah, so the Lions are, we've got sort of going to the opposite end of the ladder. I think I didn't realise how good Brisbane's off-season was until I looked at it on paper. And I really do, I think, need to be admired for what they've done in terms of their list management. They've brought in some really solid players to add to what is already a very good list. And I'll just highlight the ones that really will make the biggest impacts. We've got Josh Dunkley, who speaks for itself. He's just a fantastic midfielder. Sort of Mr. Fix-It, I think, for the Bulldogs for a while there. And there's never really been a bad thing said about his footballing ability, and he's just going to add into that midfield that is already very, very good. Then they've brought in probably one of the better veteran forwards going around, and yeah, he's probably at the end, but he's still a player that you don't really want to go up against, and that's Jack Gunston. I think that's just an absolutely perfect signing for Brisbane. I think Gunston's still got great footy to play, and I guess they just took advantage of Hawthorn letting a lot of players go, and they've brought in a guy who I think will add a lot to that forward line. And then the other player that they brought in with AFL experience, who I think will probably do well for them off the half back line, who might complement an aging Daniel Rich, and that's Connor McKenna. I mean, he's a player who I personally haven't watched much, because I never really watched Essendon games a whole lot, but everyone knows that he was a force to be reckoned with his speed off that half back line, and he was always a goal threat going forward. He's a bit of a polarizing player, but I think in Brisbane's team, you know, if you can get guys like him and Kadeen Coleman running off the half back line, servicing what's already a fantastic midfield and only developing forward line, it's going to be a pretty awful thing for opponents to deal with. And that's just the players who have played AFL. And they obviously then got Will Ashcroft, who was picked 2 in the end, but he was clearly the best player in the draft pool. He will probably slot in straight into that midfield. And so with those four, you've got four guys that just pretty much slot into the best 22. Connor McKenna, probably the only one who might have a question mark on best 22. But even then, I think he's in the team. It's some inclusions that I just think, I look at the other top 8 sides and I don't see a team that's really matched them in that sense. And I think it's going to be great for them to take that next step, because they've sort of been plateaued at sort of maybe the third or fourth best team in the league in the regular season, and then come to the finals and they just have been choking lately. So I think bringing in an experienced player like Gunston, a workhorse like Dunkley, and then obviously complementing it with McKenna, Ashcroft, they even brought in Darra Joyce as a depth backman and a few other good draftees. I mean, I think it's just great recruiting all round from the Lions. What do you think, Dieter?
Yeah, that's a great analysis. I think there's a lot to say about their ins sort of a few months ago. I mean, Will Ashcroft, you know, arguably should have been number one pick. And when you get a number one pick who is ready-made, who is an elite midfielder, can run, back and help, you know, he can run back and help the defenders, he can run forward. I've heard he's been trialing at half forward, half back on the wing, so he could be a Mr. Fix-It himself. But you look at their outs as well, and each of their ins complements an out. So you look at Dan McStay, he's gone to Collingwood. Jack Gunson's come in, he's going to fill that role. Mitch Robertson sort of retired, Josh Dunkley comes in. You know, that's an upgrade for the midfield at Brisbane. And then you Connor McKenna and Will Ashcroft, you know, replace that 21st, 22nd player at the Lions. And certainly Will Ashcroft might be top 8, top 5 player at Brisbane by the end of next season. So yeah, it's an incredible batch. And obviously, you know, Brisbane are gunning for a flag, and would have been one of the selling points for both Gunston and Connor McKenna signing at them. But also Will Ashcroft, don't forget he was a father-son. And as a father-son, you can nominate the club that your father picked, or you can be in the open draft. And with Brisbane right at the pointy end of the top 8, you know, why not go play for Brisbane compared to someone like a North Melbourne who had the number one pick and were looking at midfielders? So it just makes sense for both Ashcroft, who wants some success, and also Brisbane getting those depth players or those final pieces of the puzzles to go for a flag in 2023. They're my observations, so back to you.
Yeah, I love the point you make about the ins complementing the outs. I was going to touch on that as well. I think McStay is a bit of a loss to them. However, as you said, Gunston comes in and fills that role, and I know they're slightly different in the way that they play. Gunston works up the ground a bit more and gets a bit more involved in the play, whereas McStay is a bit more of a stay-at-home forward, but again, can provide a bit of ruck relief here and there. I think McStay actually is a great get for Collingwood, and I just think that's not a big loss for Brisbane in the grand scheme of things, I don't think. And I highlighted Mitch Robinson in my notes as well, as someone who's retired. even then, I don't think he's someone who, even if they didn't directly replace him, I don't think they would have been too, they wouldn't have been at a disadvantage going into next season because of it, because they've got guys already there who could have stepped into that role, like a Devon Robertson, who, again, is another, he's a player who will struggle to get games in this stacked Brisbane team.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to point on Dev Robertson. He only played 3 or 4 games throughout the regular season, which for a player of his caliber, you'd think he'd be playing anywhere else at any other club. So, yeah, having a player like that coming out of your reserves is huge. But, yeah, what were you going to say, Luke?
Yeah, so, yeah, just talking about general predictions, I mean, it's pretty clear how we think they'll go. I'm saying that they'll be in the top three. I think top two, realistically, and they should be aiming for the flag, without a doubt. I look at them, and I have them and Melbourne sort of in their own tier, with Fremantle potentially creeping in. But even then, I think Melbourne and Brisbane are the two standout teams in terms of their lists. Again, the issue with Brisbane has been the last couple of years is just getting wins on the board when it matters most. And that is, I guess, their biggest challenge going into this year. But there's no excuses for them not to be right up there at the top, being one of the flag favourites all year long. Because, yeah, this team is, I think it's the most stacked team coming into this season. At least the team that's probably, I think, going to be the most hyped team in my eyes anyway. What do you think in terms of their outlook for 2023?
Yeah, I think for Chris Fagan, with all his ins, you know, they are the flag favourite. Like, they've showed in the off season that they have attracted players like a Dunkley, like a Gunston, like a McKenna, and even Will Ashcroft to that extent. We are going for a flag. Come to us and let's go win it. You know, Josh Dunkley is from Gippsland. Like, let's be real. He's not from Queensland. His dad played for Sydney. You know, this is, you know, Brisbane's a new territory for him. He went up there to get some more midfield time and to win a flag. Same for Gunston. You know, he's at the end of his career, but he can still contribute to a flag. McKenna, you know, why not? You want to win a flag in the AFL? Hard enough winning one at a team like Essendon, but, you know, makes sense. So
it's a good upgrade on Essendon.
It's a very good upgrade.
No offense to the Bombers, but gosh, it's a good upgrade.
Yeah, so what players do you think need to take the next step or will take the next step?
In terms of players who I think will take the next step, and it's a guy who I really think could take the league by storm this year, and it's Cam Rayner. I think his first few seasons were, I guess, a little bit underwhelming in the sense that he wasn't changing games like we were expecting him to, and then he got injured. And when that happened, there were a lot of question marks, and I think the general consensus since that injury is that he has been progressing pretty well. I think in this Brisbane team, with so many guns, so many great players, bringing in a guy like Gunston as well into that forward line who might allow Arena to push up the ground a little more, I just think that he's going to hit the ground running this year. And I really hope that he can become that dynamic player for Brisbane that they don't really have. They don't really have that Bont. They don't have that Dusty. I think Rayner has the potential to be that player for them. Even Collingwood last year, you know, they had a guy like DeGoey who could just go off on his day. They don't have that X factor. And I think Rayner is going to become that player. And if he can do that consistently, well, it's going to be hard to, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat them anyway, but if he's running hot, he's just going to be a handful every day. It could be like him and Zach Bailey kicking 3 or 4 goals off the half-forward flank each week, and that's going to be a nightmare because they're the hardest sort of positions to defend in ways. So I think he's the one that will take the next step. What do you think, Dina?
Yeah, I think that's a great player to sort of focus on. You know, Cam Rayner did his ACL about 2 years ago. So with a year out of footy and then coming back, you know, it's so hard for elite level players, especially in AFL, to go that next step. But, you know, Cam Rayner played most games last year and you just need that continuity. So as you expect, in the new season, after returning, I think, yeah, sky's the limits for Cam Rainer. And I think as well, with the jostling of positions that Brisbane now have, I don't think anyone's really safe. And I think Cam really needs to work on his fitness, as everyone knows. It was talked about in his draft year that he can't run out sort of four quarters in the midfield, but, you know, pinch hitting in the midfield from the half back, or half forward, I should say, makes sense. And you could see that Zach Bailey switch between the two. So if Zach Bailey's in the midfield, Cam Rainer's in the forward line. And if Zach Bailey's in the forward line, Cam Rainer's in the midfield. So I think having two really burst, powerful players like that, I think Brisbane will be hard to stop.
Yeah, I like the point you make, actually, of the jostling for positions. We mentioned McKenna a few times, and I think a player who will be in a similar position, I mentioned him very briefly before, and it's Kadeen Coleman. I think he's another guy who I could see really doing well this year. He was injured at the start of the year for 2022, came in to the team after what was a pretty extensive injury in the end, a lot longer than they were hoping for, and he came in and he slotted in so well off that half back line. I just think he's sort of a game breaker. He's not afraid to take on that inside kick, and I think with that added pressure of a McKenna coming in, with other, like, all their ends really, I mean, it's just going to put pressure on every spot. And a half-back flank is a position where midfielders will get pushed out to if there aren't enough spots for them in the midfield. So even a Josh Dunkley coming in and a Will Ashcroft, it does put pressure on a Kadeen Coleman. They might elect to put a Hugh McCluggage off the half-back line for some reason. I don't think they will, but this happens. You see it happen every now and then. And so I think you're going to see guys either sink or swim, and I think Kadeen Coleman is going to absolutely swim this season. I think he's going to do really well. He's another guy I think that could do some really good things off the half back line, and maybe even as well if Daniel Rich is going to decline a little bit, or even Zorko. I just think it's going to be a bit of a passing of the guard sort of thing.
Yeah, I think with Brisbane having elite half backers like your Daniel Riches, who have got exquisite skills, Coleman himself has, you know, arguably one of the best kicks in the club for Brisbane. And you look at other teams that do value having a clean kick coming off the half back and making that pinpoint shot in the middle of the ground where it's, you know, sink or float really, because if the opposition gets an intercept mark or intercept possession, they're just putting it straight down the guts of the full forward. And you look at Bulldogs that flipped Bailey Dale and Caleb Daniel off the half back. You look at their skill level, you know, both of them made all Australians from it. So you could see maybe this year or maybe next year, Coleman getting an all Australian with his skills.
Yeah, I agree. It's a position that I think gets a lot of slack because you can often be seen as just a bit of a seagull chipping the ball around, just getting the loose ball, not getting the hard ball. But I think it's becoming one of the most important positions in the game, the halfback flank, being that rebounding defender. I think it's so important. Every good team's got good rebounding defenders. It's something that has just been happening more and more over the last few years. And Brisbane are blessed with a lot of players who will absolutely thrive in that role. Finally, we'll look at players who could be under a bit of pressure this season. I mean, it's tough at Brisbane. They're a team on that doesn't have too many negatives going in. I think last year and for a few years, their a big issue for them has been goal kicking. Joe Danaher and Eric Hipwood, I think Hipwood a bit more so, just because I feel like he could do more, but even Danaher to an extent, they've got to be getting the ball more and kicking more goals. They're kicking too many behinds. It's costing them games. And I think if you speak to every Brisbane supporter, they will absolutely agree that their goal kicking is just not up to scratch. And even with, you know, a McStay leaving, it does put a bit more of a spotlight on them. Gunston will come in. Gunston's in his history has been a great goal kicker. Then went through a bit of a rough patch. So, you know, what Gunston will they get? But they've got to kick goals in the forward line, and I think Hipwood and Danaher need to lead the way on that. What do you think in terms of the players under pressure, Dieter?
Yeah, I think Hipwood's a definitely an interesting player coming into this season. He's sort of returning from that ACL injury that sort of wiped out parts of last year and sort of getting that form. It's going to be interesting to see who Brisbane select out of Hipwood and Danaher as that relief ruckman, because I don't think it's worth putting Jack Gunston in the ruck. He's not tall enough, but also you want players who are accurate set shots in your forward line, and Jack Gunston is arguably one of the best kicks certainly in this last decade, really, to kick multiple goals in, you know, Hawthorn flags and sort of come to the fore when the pressure's on. So, yeah, I mean, Brisbane for years, the last 3 or 4 years, have been atrocious at kicking goals, and that let them down in some home prelim losses, some other early finals exits. So maybe that's the big pressure point, that their goal kicking is under the spotlight.
Yeah, I guess it's just pressure on a whole position, I guess, more so than just a player. But I mean, look, I think that's the only real knock I have on anything with Brisbane at the moment. I mean, I look at guys like McCluggage. He's someone who I think can improve, and will he improve? And when I say improve, it's not that he's not playing well. It's just that I think he could take his game again to another level. But yeah, overall, they're in such a good way. And I just think they're going to be I think the good thing with Brisbane is they're going to be a fantastic team to watch as well. I could see them playing a really good brand of footy in 2023, and it'll be really exciting. Any final comments?
Yeah, I think I really liked what you said, that they're going to be a very exciting team. You know, anyone in their forward line can kick goals. Half the players in that forward line can stand on heads. You've got, you know, a fun midfield that's, you know, runs very deep. They're going to get stacks of possessions. I think that's all my final comments, really. I think, yeah, they're the favourites in my eyes to win the whole thing. But sort of looking at the time, we're pushing 40 minutes, which is sort of amazing when you sort of sit down and talk with one of your good mates about footy. But we're going to leave it there, and we're going to get through some more teams in the days to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the goal is to sort of maybe do two teams an episode, release every couple of days, hopefully around the half hour mark. We don't want it to drag out too long. We've gone a little bit over. We'll try and do our best to keep it at a half an hour, so 15 minutes each team. Again, we're not going too deeply into each team. We're just doing the very general predictions and projections for 2023. Hopefully you enjoyed the first episode of the Fifth Quarter Footy Podcast. We're excited to see what you guys think. If you have thoughts, comments, questions about any of these teams, we want to hear it. Dieter, do you want to mention socials?
Yeah, you can find us at the Fifth Quarter Podcast. So we've got a Twitter sort of newly created, so we'll be making sure that after every episode we link it in there, and we'll be asking a few questions for the fans just to maybe answer, or some hot takes as well. But that's all I have.
Yep, so if you check the description of each episode, we'll make sure to put the link in there. Again, any questions, feedback, we're welcome to it all. Even if you have a completely different opinion to us, we find it interesting hearing other thoughts, and I don't think either of us get too heated over it. We just like hearing the different ideas. So we're really excited to see what you guys think. Hopefully you've enjoyed this, and we'll hear from you all in the few days, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of our season previews. Thanks. Have a good one.
See ya.